Well, if you'll take your Bible this morning and start over in Proverbs chapter 3 for one verse, Proverbs chapter 3, then Exodus 13. Proverbs chapter 3, and then Exodus chapter 13. I have enjoyed being in this portion of the scriptures again. It's a good reminder for me that as I live from day to day, it's awfully important to trust the Lord with the details of your life. We guys that go to church and, you know, you guys that go to church are used to being here, hearing the scriptures, and we're used to all that, you know, goes on, and that's a blessing to be a part of that. But as we live from day to day, it's so easy to get lost in the day, lost in the moment or whatever it is that troubles us. And it's so easy to overlook the fact that we need to trust God no matter where we are. Past couple of weeks, we looked at the fact that Jacob was a master planner. He was a designer, so much to the point that he designed his life and he planned his life in ways that were sort of deceptive. And they seemed to not be good for everyone else, but good for him. And don't get me wrong, it's good to plan your future. It's good to do what you can to plan. God gave us a brain. He gave us logic and he gave us discretion. And it's good to reason things out, and it's good to use good discretion in making decisions. But it's also very important to remember that he desires us to trust him. And when my logic and my reasoning seems to fail, he wants me. He relishes in the fact that his people come to him, and they bring to him their affairs. Somebody once said, God's given us two ears and only one mouth, which is a gentle reminder that we should listen more than we should talk. Well, that applies to the Christian as well. Sure, we got the ability to plan, but he wants us to trust him. And Jacob was a man who had a hard time, in my opinion, doing that. Now, don't forget, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses, and there were, that's called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And there's so many details in there and so many records of God's people crying out to him in prayer. But yet in Jacob's life, that is, you don't see that much in his life. It seems like a lot happens, but he just doesn't seem to take everything to the Lord in prayer. At least it's not recorded in an area of the Bible that it is recorded for a lot of others. And so we look at Jacob's life and we see how he's manipulated his brother and his father and little things, like when we saw last week how he came to the well as he was told to go look for a wife, and he came to the same well that his father had sent his servant to look for a wife. And the servant Eleazar bowed his head to the Lord and humbled his heart before God when he came to that well and asked God to send the right woman his way. Jacob goes to the same well, and there's no record of him going to the Lord for approval, for help, for discretion, for decision making. He just starts reacting and he starts doing things. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, there's a verse I want to start out with. One of the hardest things for us to do is to trust God. And in verse number 6, Proverbs 3:6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now, that says all thy ways. Now, if you're like me, Royce, you want to give the Lord what you want to give him. It's easy just to want to hold things back that we don't want to give to the Lord. And as our life changes from day to day, from year to year, and man, the body changes, doesn't it? Your health changes and the family changes. Oh, what a blessing I had yesterday. You know, we were used to all the kids coming over, and Valerie and I are the parents, and the kids are the kids. But yesterday, Lennox spent the day with us, and our family changed, you know, and that was a welcome change, you know. But as our life changes, sometimes our jobs change, and sometimes we have conflicts with the loved ones and the friends that we have, and sometimes we feel betrayed. All kinds of things that happens in our life, and it's important for us to trust Him in all our ways. Another writer, the Apostle Peter, said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." What a great verse that is. And it's so easy for us to take to the Lord all the things that it's comfortable for us to take to Him, and the rest, we tend to like to hold it back and wing it on our own. And casting all your cares, for He careth for you. We've all experienced God caring for us in the past, haven't we? We've experienced His blessings. He's given us this wonderful life, and it's a hard life sometimes, but we have air to breathe, and we have the blessings of family and friends, and for us, we have a good church family, and God's blessed us in so many ways. God's got a history of taking care of His people. Why can't we trust Him with everything that comes across our path? The reason I'm going in this route is because I know sometimes in the most difficult times, it's hard to forget how God has been, how good God has been, because our mind is so focused on how painful the moment is. And sometimes it's easy to forget how much He's giving to us. But it's important for us to realize, and in Jacob's life, it was important for him to realize, for anybody to realize, that God is capable of taking care of the present no matter what it is. In Isaiah 33, verse 13, the Lord says, "Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might." Lord says, wherever you are, far or close, whatever situation that you're in, you acknowledge who I am. You acknowledge that I can take care of this situation. So take your Bible and go over to Exodus 13. We're going to see an example of that. And you guys have been, you know, you've been reading your Bibles for a long, long time, so you know all of this. But I want to review with you how God took care of the children of Israel. We're not going to spend much time here. But you know that the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians, and there at the end, God showed Himself through Moses and Aaron that He was able to bring these people out of Egypt. And you remember the 10 plagues. The waters were turned to blood. The frogs came upon the land. The lice or the gnats invaded everything. The flies came. The children of Israel watched the Egyptian livestock be killed off. The bulls came upon the Egyptian people. Hail came down from heaven and destroyed the place. Locusts came upon the land. It terrible, terrible things. Darkness came upon the whole area. And then the 10th plague, the worst of all, was the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians. And the Israelites witnessed this. They saw this miracle. And so Moses had been charged with telling them, "Do not forget what you have seen. Do not forget what God is capable of." Look in verse number 3, Exodus 13, verse 3. "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." Now look down in verse number 8. "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." He's saying, listen, you remember this. Don't forget what God has done for you. You're going to need this in the future. You're going to need to remember the might and the power of God above. Look in verse number 16. "And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." Or Moses says, listen, you guys remember this, because this is very, very important. You're going to be in some rough patches in your life as we travel through this journey. As God takes us out of this country of Egypt, we're going to go through things, and you're going to need to remember this. And I'll take care of you. He promised them that he's leading the way. Look in verse number 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure or perhaps the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Now God knew the children of Israel. He knew them. He knew what they were capable of. And even though this way was quicker, he said, I'm not going to let you go that way, because you're going to see all the battles and the wars, and you're going to see these armies coming forth out of the Philistines coming to get you. And, you know, you're going to be scared. And so I'm going to take you this way, and I'm going to lead you another way. And he's going to do it with a pillar by day and fire by night. Verse number 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So he's got this thing. And God's going to lead these people. And he's going to get the glory out of these people and of Pharaoh. Look in the next chapter, chapter 14, verse number 4. It says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh. God says, I'm going to get glory and honor out of Pharaoh's life, whether he gives it to me or not. Look down in verse number 18. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Friends, this is a wonderful, this is a very valuable principle for each child of God to remember. And it's this right here. You ready? God will get honor and glory out of our life, whether we give it to him or not. But the way that we want it is when we do give it to him. When we give to him of our mind and our heart and our resources, that's the way we want it. Because sometimes, as we see in the life of Jacob, God eventually gets the honor and glory out of Jacob's life. But the route that Jacob has to go, the route that Jacob chooses to go, brings a lot of misery, a lot of pain along the way. And so the people left Egypt, and as they left Egypt and they start traveling towards the Red Sea, they look back and they see the whole army of Pharaoh behind them. And although they had seen the 10 plagues firsthand upon the nation of Egypt, although they knew God was mighty and they glorified him in that, they looked back and saw this army and they were afraid. They once again forgot that God could deliver them from this situation. Look in verse number 10 of chapter 14. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die than that we should die in the wilderness. You see, God knew these people inside out. And he knew that when they saw battle, when he saw things so devastatingly scary, like back looking at the Egyptian army, that they would be scared, and that they would not use their faith. They would use the intelligence of their fright, so to speak. They would make decisions based upon their fears. God knew them inside and out. Yet Moses just tells them and says, listen, trust God for this. Stand still and see what God will do. Look in verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Okay, Moses is just reminding them, listen, God has proven worthy. He's proven that he can carry us. He's proven that he will take care of us. All you got to do is let him do what he's going to do in your life. He says down in verse number 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness unto them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one could come not near the other all the night. So this light that was in front of their face and leading them, the pillar by day and the fire by night, all of a sudden went to the back because the Egyptian army had come up on them, and God took his pillar and took his fire, and he separated the two, and he protected his people, and they saw that, and Israel was saved. And you know the story. They crossed the Red Sea, and God protected them by closing in the waters up on the Egyptians behind them, and Israel was saved. Look in verse number 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea. Dead upon the sea shore. The printer cut up my verse. Didn't make any sense. They've seen God's miracles over and over in their life. And if the story stopped here, we would think, oh, well, they should have it down now, shouldn't they? They understand. God's able to carry them through anything that they go through. And so in chapter 15, they have like 21 verses is recorded of great songs of triumph and praise and glory to God for them being rescued by him. And they praise the Lord for what he's done. But then they come upon the bitter waters of Marah. And all of a sudden, guess what? They forget about God's power. And they say, Moses, you've brought us upon this place, and there's nothing to drink but these bitter waters. And yet God, instead of getting on to them, he provides water. Look in verse number 25 of chapter 15. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, these diseases, these plagues that they've seen the Egyptians go through, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then in the very next verse, he sent them to a refreshing place of 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and he gave them a place to relax and get some R&R and rest from their travels. You think, well, these people, they understand that God once again will take care of them. He provided water to drink through this miracle of Moses taking this tree and chopping it down, or at least parts of it, putting it into the water, and it made the water sweet, and they were able to drink. Yeah, they should know that God loves them enough, and he will take care of them in any situation. Well, then go to chapter 16. See, this is just over and over again. Chapter 16, verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Why did they murmur? Because they were hungry. They didn't trust that God would feed them. They didn't trust that God had an answer for their hunger. Look down in verse number 12. Lord says, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speaking to them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. God said, listen, I've got this thing. You are panicky now because you're hungry and you're starving. I'm going to provide you exactly what you need. And it's going to be such that I'm going to give it to you every day. And you don't want to leave any overnight because it's coming every day. And if you do try to leave it overnight, it's going to spoil and stink, and you're not going to want it to be around. And what they do? Some of them kept it overnight. Verse number 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but Some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Will we never learn? Will we never learn? Will they never learn? And then God told them, listen, because of the Sabbath, I'm not going to provide it to you on the Sabbath, but you're going to get it for 6 days, and on the sixth day, I'm going to give you a double portion. Because when you go out the next morning, there's not going to be any together. None of this man is going to be available. And so this is what I want you to do. On the sixth day, you gather a double portion, and don't worry about it. I've got this. It's not going to stink, and it's not going to go rotten or anything. It's going to last those 2 days, so you'll have it. And this is the way I want you to do it. And verse number 27 says that some of them didn't listen. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? So we come to chapter 17, and once again, you would think that these people have the faith that God will take care of them. And we come to the very first part of chapter 17, and they come to a place where there's no water to drink. You would think after the first incident with water, and that God took care of their water emergency, you would think that on the second time they would have a little bit of faith. Oh, God's got this handled. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's got this handled some way. But no, verse number 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And you know the story. God told Moses to hit a rock with his rod, and I'll provide the water. Verse number 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and thou shalt come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders and of Israel, and God provided water. And then, if all that weren't enough, bitter water, no water, no food. God's solving all these problems. The enemy's behind us. He's taking care of them. God's doing all this for us. And then a new enemy comes down the path, the Amalekites. And the Amalekites came in chapter 17, and they fought with Israel. And God protected them from that. If you'll remember the story, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the mountain, and the Lord said, as long as you keep your hands up, I'm going to give you victory. And Moses held his hands up for as long as he could, and the Bible says his hands got tired, and he started lowering his hands, and his buddies, Aaron and Hur, lifted his elbows and his arms up, and God gave them the victory, and they saw once again that God took care of them. And the Lord once again said, don't forget this. In fact, look in verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So in chapter 17, they once again say that God took care of them. And because I got to tie this thing up, we're not going to go to chapter 18, but you probably remember the story. Moses' father-in-law came to town, and he's watching the whole situation. He's watching what they do. And by this time, with enough of the judgments and the counseling that Moses has to do, he's a very, very busy man. And his father-in-law, Jethro, looks and assesses the situation, and he says, you need some help. And from Jethro's very wise advice, he chose help to get him through so he wouldn't wear himself out. And so we see in all these stages of the Israelites' life, from way back in Egypt, all the travels in between, and all the hunger, and all the times of having no water, and all the enemies coming, God has shown them over and over again that they can trust him. And so we won't get this started, but we come to Genesis 30. The next time that I teach will be 2 weeks from today. Valerie and I are going to be in Kansas City next week for a work trip. But in 2 weeks from today, we're going to look at Jacob's life, and it's going to be fairly easy to criticize Jacob because he seems to be a person who doesn't seek the Lord's help that much. And it's important for us to look at the nature of people, the nature of the Israelites, and quite honestly, the nature of me and you. How, yeah, we've had God's help in the past. He's blessed us tremendously in so many ways. But I'm coming upon this thing in my life right now and the difficulty that's coming into my life right now, and I just really don't know if he can handle that. And when we do that, we're just being like everybody else. This is a day-by-day battle, trusting the Lord. If you ever think you got this thing down, you must be in heaven, or you haven't woke up of the morning. Because our very nature is to doubt. Don't you hate that? Oh, just say it. We doubt. We don't verbalize it, but we come across situations in our life where we think, I don't know about this one. What earthly good, Lord, or what heavenly good could come out of this? This is so bad. And from that little moment, there's a seed of doubt that gets planted in our mind. And I think it's so important to us to acknowledge God's plight in that, God's spot in that situation. Acknowledge Him in all our ways, when it's easy and when it's hard, when it's joyful and when it's sad. Acknowledge Him. Cast all your cares upon Him. Because we don't have that bird's eye view that he has. It's so important for us to trust a God who has that bird's eye view, and he sees not where we are, but he sees where we're going, and he sees the exact path that we're going to be on to get there. And so when we are like Jacob, as we'll see in 2 weeks, when we are like Jacob and we fly by the seat of our pants, and don't get me wrong, Jacob wasn't terrible in all this. Now, he went through some tough times because of his refusal to seek the Lord. I mean, for Pete's sake, he had 4 wives. Come on, you know? 6 sons and a daughter from his sister-in-law. 2 sons from his wife. What was it? 2 sons from his sister-in-law's maid. It's all kinds of a mess, Stacy. Just a big mess. Family fightings and tension, all kinds of tension. And if he had just got it, if he had just done it God's way in Genesis 2:24, for this reason shall a man leave his family and cleave unto one woman, or cleave unto his wife. Doesn't say wives, does it? That was God's plan. And I will go so far as to say, you know, if Jacob had been like Eleazar at that well, you know where I'm going here? If Jacob had just been like his grandfather's servant, Eleazar, Eleazar came to that well and he said, look, God, I know you're sending me to look for a wife for Isaac, but I want you to be real clear about this. I don't want to mess up. I want you to send her down this path right now so I don't mess this thing up. And God did. What did Jacob do when he came to the same well looking for Rachel? He started working. Oh, we got to get this lid off. Oh, this pretty girl's coming down the path now? Okay, you guys go ahead and get this thing, get your cattle fed so I can be with her alone. Right off the bat, he just starts doing things his own way. And you know what? I catch myself doing the same thing. Maybe not about pretty girls, but about things at work, you know? Maybe not about the things that Jacob did, but the things at home. Just doing things my own way. And all God wants me to do is from Proverbs 3, verse 6, in all thy ways, Dwayne, acknowledge him. And he'll take you down the right path. He'll direct your paths, and he'll take care of you. Just got to give him a chance. Would you pray with me?